a town where belief in aliens. The music is Destination Roswell, performed by Lana Lane, and Roswell, New Mexico is where I am, hoping you'll make Roswell your destination maybe one day as well. Thanks for sticking around after Flipside Light on the United Public Radio Network, broadcasting globally on demand 24/7. At UPRNTalkRadio.com and to live audiences all weekend long on 107.7 FM, New Orleans, Louisiana. You know what the news is. I'm Guy Malone, reporting from Roswell with all the news that's fit to retract. Welcome to tonight's broadcast of Area 51.FM. Hey, good day, and, well, maybe good evening to you folks, to my friends, to my frenemies alike out there in radio land, and welcome back to you, or welcome for your very first time to tonight's program. It's definitely fall when I can report to you that not only is the temperature falling to a really nice 79, 80 degrees currently here in sunny Roswell, I'll have some local events worth checking out for you here real shortly. But the price of silver is falling lately, down a whole dollar from when I last joined you two Fridays ago. So a decent time for you to look into that starter pack of 4 ounces of silver I linked to from Area 51.FM. But also in disastrous news to a few people I know, the price of steam has fallen to right around 50 cents as well. And don't worry if you don't know what steam is right now. Just a few weeks ago, my cybersecurity and science tech expert friend, Jason Papafotis, was on air with us describing a new form of cryptocurrency and the social network that's attached to it. And, hey, I've been all about it myself for 3 or 4 weeks now. I've made some money blogging there, and one day soon I'll probably do a whole program on this new social network that actually pays you when people like or upvote your posts. But it's all still in beta right now, and it's a bit complicated to understand for most people, including those of us currently using it. But I mention it now just to say, and I am not a qualified financial or investment advisor by any means, so do seek professional advice before making any decisions. And you probably know that this program does not routinely feature financial news, but if you've ever dabbled in Bitcoin and or Ethereum, just for instance, cyber coinage in general, I mean, digital currency, and you're familiar with the basics already, you might want to look into buying some steam right now. That's with two E's, S-T-E-E-M. According to CoinMarketCap.com, steam is the 8th most popular digital currency on the market right now, out of hundreds of them, and it reached a crazy low of 49 cents early this morning. Like I said, if you're familiar with Bitcoin already, Bitcoin is today worth thousands of times what it was just five or six years ago. It's trading at over $600 right now, but was only going for 10 or 11 bucks at one point, like when I moved away from Roswell in 2010, for instance. But now I'm back, and boy, do I have some big plans in store for next July, which I won't get into right now. My point is that steam is under a dollar, around 50 cents as I speak, and it is more than just a digital currency, whatever that is, I know some of you are thinking, but steam has got a whole new social network attached to it called Steemit, and many believe it's destined for greatness as well. I'm one of the many who believe in its long-term future, and it has the potential to do to Facebook what Facebook did to MySpace, is some of the buzz that's going around right now. That's just another way of describing Steam and Steemit that's going around. And hey, like they say, you heard it here first, folks. This definitely qualifies as news that's fit to retract, as it's a whole new type of technology that U.S. and world governments don't really want you knowing about in many ways, mainly because there's decentralized financial systems rising up that are not controlled by the Federal Reserve, by Alan Greenspan. They're not controlled by any country or government agency either. It's all free market, open source currency. Very libertarian in spirit anyways, and a very free market global type of intervention. So yeah, I'll tell you more about it in upcoming weeks as I know more and as it becomes friendlier and easier to use to first-time website visitors. I linked a while back ago, a few days ago, to a cafe in Germany that accepts Steam as payment just as easily as you would pay with PayPal in some places. That's what's happening right now. It's new. You don't know much about it. But money aside, as far as just having a free blog or a free website goes, and advertising free one at that, this program's website, Area51.fm, exists on the Steemit platform right now. I don't pay them for web hosting, and they don't run ads that make me look dumb. What a deal, huh? Plus, I get paid when people like the blogs I post. Whoa! So if you just want to check out Steem and Steemit yourself, doing so is as easy as going to Area51.fm right now, and you'll be checking out Steemit whether you know it or not. Scroll down past that big blue blockchain field at the top, especially if you're on your phone looking at it. And hey, take a gander at my past program archives while you're there. Follow the link to tonight's upcoming guest while you're there. Anyways, getting down to it, I've got some real neat local to Roswell events to tell you about when I return. Some conspiracy-style news that's fit to retract headlines from around the interwebbies. And then we're going to have about 30 minutes or so on the phone with Frank Johnson, who is part of the brains behind, get this, AncientAliensDebunked.com. Frank's posted a link recently to a critique of some Planet X-promoting fella whose claims and dates keep on changing as the years pass, and he keeps on being wrong about his predictions, yet he's still popular. And as you know, I really like calling shenanigans here on this program, especially when people get away with paranormal and pseudo-scientific bullcrockery. So when I saw Frank's repost on this Planet X thing, I just had to say, hey, Frank, could you talk about why the current Planet X material and maybe the Ancient Aliens TV program are full of holes, perhaps? So, yep, that's what we're doing tonight on Reporting from Roswell. I do hope you'll stay tuned, because I'll be right back after this word from, from me. Folks, you don't have to be a doomsday prepper to know that you need to get your hands on some silver, right? Whether you believe that our economy is destined to crash and burn soon, or maybe you just know that in an emergency situation where maybe the power grid is down or food trucks aren't going to be coming to town anytime soon, you might need some precious metals to barter with your neighbor for food, water, or even bullets. because nobody's accepting credit cards or your printed fiat currency at the moment. So you need some silver to get by for a little while, right? Well, I have indeed personally bought some silver online in my day. And let me tell you about a starter pack I personally bought online recently to check this company out. I was really wowed by their product, their service, and their philosophies, really. Right now at Area51.fm, you'll see a link to this starter pack of silver from Money Metals, where for around $70-$80, you'll get not just 4 ounces of 999 pure silver, but a great variety. With their starter pack, I got one American Silver Eagle, one Canadian Maple, and a 1 ounce round, which are cool, but for trade or barter during an emergency, we all know you'll want some smaller pieces. The 1/4 ounce in this starter kit consists of a 1/2 ounce round plus 5, count them 5, 1/10 ounce pieces of pure silver that are usually hard to find in small quantities, plus the premium's usually pretty high on them. But hey, I don't want you to break the bank on a $1,000 purchase with a company you don't know anything about yet. But from personal experience, I can tell you that I trust Money Metals Exchange to deliver a safe, sound, and wow experience to you, just like they did for me. They run great sales on these 1/10 ounce pieces from time to time. The $2 or $3 you spend on them now, you might trade for bullets or water tomorrow. Go to Area51.fm and click on the link to discover why Money Metals Exchange was recently rated Precious Metals Dealer of the Year by Bullion Insider. Well, take me home, country roads, to a place I belong, a musical tribute to Roswell native John Denver is happening tomorrow night in Roswell, performed by acclaimed performer Jim Curry. Quoting the Roswell Daily Record's Vision Magazine article, Vision Mag also says that, quote, Curry has created the ultimate tribute experience and has emerged as the top performer of Denver's music today, unquote. I know tomorrow night is short notice for you to get to Roswell for that, but hey, I've mentioned it a time or three here already, and if you keep up with my Ros Guide upcoming events calendar, listed on Area51.fm, you'll see what else you want to know about what's happening here in Roswell in coming weeks and months that might make it well worth your time to come visit us before that July UFO festival thing that comes around every year, when I'll also be, oh wait, I'm not going to tell you about that until after Frank has come on the program. But also looking ahead on the Ros Guide calendar, the musical Annie has been killing it here locally and just has 3 performances remaining. That's tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. But the play, Young Frankenstein, is happening mid-October for 2 weekends. The Roswell Jazz Festival happening for several nights in October. If you plan it just right, you could catch both of those on the same weekend, on the same trip. And before all that, the first week of October has the Eastern New Mexico State Fair happening for 6 days. Y'all come, suey, okay? These and more upcoming events, along with dates and official links, starting from www.area51.fm, just click on your Ros Guide upcoming events calendar, where you'll also see the number of a local travel agent who lives here if you want some real-world help in booking a trip to come and see us, okay? You know, as happens a lot lately, I let my guest for tonight, Frank Johnson, go over a bit longer than our planned time, so I'm going to leave you to your own devices to get the scoop on this week's news that's fit to retract by visiting Area51.fm, then click the Facebook page for links. Here's some of the recent stories I've linked from there. This will motivate you to go. I just won't be able to unpack them and talk about them today. USUncut.com headline, Cable News silent as 2 states declare emergency after pipeline spill. More than 250,000 gallons of gasoline have spilled in Shelby County, Alabama, after a major fuel pipeline ruptured this week, unquote, But apparently no major media outlets are talking about it. Can you say cover up? I did see something about it finally on a CNN blog page today, so maybe that headline from usuncut.com with nearly 200,000 shares already maybe forced CNN into giving the story a little pittance of attention. A video from anonymous news outlet features Sergeant Rich Schiff, an 11-year veteran of the San Francisco Police Department, testifying under oath that our government is hiding the cure for cancer. Sergeant Schiff presents an emotional look at how this has all affected his family, telling of his own daughter's death by chemotherapy. TrueKings.com reporting about some pilots in Italy marching through the streets with photographic images protesting chemtrails. Pilots protesting chemtrails. Wish I had more time to dig into that one for you tonight. And one other link that I want you to know, that I want to know, if anybody out there can actually verify a better news source than the link I'm mentioning here and posted for you, but it appears that Putin, you know, that guy over in Russia who has banned GMO foods already, has now allegedly banned the Rothschilds from even being in Russia anymore, ever, much less operating their banking cartel in Russia. Hey, that'd be newsworthy, but if the link I have is choiceandtruth.com and yournewswire.com so far. They're not huge. I'm not familiar with the first one. Take it with a grain of salt. But if someone has any better-known news links featuring the same type of story on Putin banning the Rothschilds from Russia, I want to know, because, you know, I want to interview Putin about that topic if it's for reals. But time is short. Like I said, you go to Area51.fm's Facebook page for those stories and more. Right now, I've got to shut up and make way for Frank Johnson.
Nephilim Incorporated.
Good day, Frank.
How's it going, guy?
Hey, really well, man. Hey, thanks for coming on at such short notice today, by the way. We are recording. We are on the air, more or less, right now, by the way.
Cool.
I've got my radio voice on, as you can tell.
I can hear it, yeah. Yeah, thanks for asking me. I'm glad to be on the show.
Yeah, you kind of cracked me up when you were like, I mean, you're really hilarious. I look at your Facebook posts and stuff like that, and I constantly laugh out loud, either at your pictures, but the seriousness and depth of your research.
Thank you.
Actually, a wee bit on the mind-boggling side, hey?
I try to be, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking right now, or what got my attention the other day was this article you put up in Ancient Aliens Debunked, which, of course, I'll have you unpack that topic a little bit. I'm very familiar
sure.
with it. We're going to assume that our audience isn't. But the Facebook page, Ancient Aliens Debunked Official, which you, I guess, moderate, is that right?
Yeah, I kind of moderate it. I created it because, you know, Chris White did the video, and he kind of lets me do the blogging, and I thought, well, you know, we don't really do comments on the blog, so if people want to talk about articles or anything, maybe they can just come do it on the Facebook group. So,
cool. Yeah, I'm real familiar with Chris's video, and plan on I've got permission from him to use it in the future for a project or two. And,
oh, good.
Yeah. Would it be fair to say that you're extremely well versed in the Ancient Aliens debunked project as well?
I try to be as much as I can, yeah.
Okay, well, that's a loaded question. I may get back to that with you in a little bit. that was my ulterior motive when we messaged. I said I did have something else I wanted to ask you about, but
sure.
As advertised to my listeners, you have an article, the title that you put in this Facebook page, Planet X keeps being 1 year away. Anyone want to call into Coast to Coast AM on Tuesday? So this was a real recent thing on Coast to Coast, just to set it up. I'll bet some of my listeners know that or at least listen to it, right? What happened?
I would think
that?
So, yeah. I'd be surprised if some of them didn't, yeah.
Yeah, who is the guy that you were mentioning, Marshall Masters or something? Go ahead and set it
well,
up.
Well, yeah, let me actually unpack that a little bit. So the link I shared was actually an article from the Exposing Pseudo-Astronomy podcast, which that guy is actually a real astronomer, so he kind of knows a little bit of science, you could say. And he keeps sorry, I'm a little out of breath here. I'm taking a walk, too. But, he's basically looked at Marshall Masters' claims, like, every time he's been on Coast to Coast, except for one or two early ones. And he's basically keeping track of how often he's wrong. And then that's the article I shared, because I guess Masters was going to be on C2C the other night, and he was hoping people would call in and hold him to task or whatever. So.
I understand. So that was the exposing.
Yeah, that wasn't. I haven't done anything new on the Ancient Aliens one in a couple of months, so. I got a couple hot blogs coming out sooner or later, but they're stuck in development right now.
So what is this guy claiming about planet Marshall Masters? He said, I will admit, like people know, I've kind of been out of the loop for a while, just not becoming active again now that I've moved back to Roswell this year.
Sure.
But really, it's been a year now. I have got a couple stakes in the ground as far as building a tent, but nothing. Starting over, basically, but
sure.
What is Marshall Masters about, first off, then?
Well, he's just kind of one of the, as far as I know, he's just one of the kind of New Agey crowd who's been basically writing books and promoting Planet X here and there for quite a while now, as far back as like 2003. And he used to give out a lot of dates, I guess, of like when it was supposed to, be around here. And just about every time his dates come, no Planet X. And he finally, I think he stopped giving specific dates, but he still likes to say, hey, it's coming up anytime now. And still not coming.
That's what I'm seeing then. I'm going through this list of September 2003, Coast to Coast, quote. And then later, I'm like, April 2012, he's claiming it's going to happen in 2012. But
yeah.
That's not your original article. You just linked to it from Ancient Aliens Debunked because I guess I shouldn't really talk about Marshall Masters without giving him the chance to get on here. But your point in posting was, I remember, you said 2003. I was at a UFO conference in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And there was a couple books that were just all the rage. I don't know if it was a speaker topic, but, there was a Planet X book that I had copies of. So that's obviously still a thing if he's on Coast to Coast talking about it then, huh?
Yeah, it is. And I read a comment on Facebook today that it was a thing as far back as, like, 1970s or 80s, I guess, with if you want to, like, include Sitchin and whomever, so... So it's been around, gained a lot of traction, I think, maybe in the 90s and early 2000s when everyone thought Y2K was going to be the end of the world,
So we needed a new end of the world, and we needed a new end of the world.
Yeah, exactly. So when that one didn't pan out, hold on, guys, Planet X will be here in, 2003, just hang tight,
Well, have you followed the whole Planet X movement that long yourself then?
I think probably the first I ever heard of it was, it must have been 05 or 06, somewhere in there. Probably around the time I was discovering like Future Quake, some of your stuff, Bill Jordan stuff. It was kind of like trying to figure out what all this stuff was about and aliens and, how that fit in with my sort of wandering Christian faith at the time. yeah, that's when I first heard about it. I saw some book at Barnes & Noble or something, and he was talking about, I don't even remember who the author was, but he was talking about, you know, the different evidences for it and that it was coming soon back then, that it was in the Bible and all that stuff. So basically the same song and dance as people still give us.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad you said, well, one, I can definitely relate to the how does all this fit into my wandering Christian faith, or even in my case, new. I've used the phrase, how does this fit into my new Christian faith when I was writing away back in the day. But so you were introduced to a claim that said that might be in the Bible. Have you personally, since you've been studying that angle, Planet X, like I know the Sitchin claim, and I know Nibiru, and, you know, but I'm not. I've never touted myself as an expert on it. It's something I would actually default to you or Dr. Heiser or others on, of course. So, but that got my ears, my little puppy dog ears perked up when you said, someone said it's in the Bible. Can you, off the top of your head, the two questions that came to my mind, is there anything, or do you remember what they claimed to make it seem like it was in the Bible, and or is there anything you found that would support the existence of Planet X in the Bible?
Sure. You know, a lot of the verses I see are mainly from Revelation. You know, the star wormwood, when that happens in Revelation, that's the big one most people claim. There's other people like Gil Broussard and a couple other people you may have heard of, but they basically try to cherry pick different verses out of the Bible to see, or to prove that Planet X is a thing and has been here before and is coming again. Now, you know, when you really look at those verses in context, I don't think you can really build a case off of that, but, you know, people try to do it, especially if they're, you know, selling books or whatever. let me think. As I kind of like looked through all those claims, I don't personally see anything in the Bible that would explicitly say that, you know, this Planet X nemesis thing is coming to destroy us. I can certainly say that the claims that it's been here before and people referencing the Bible for that, I think those claims are kind of ridiculous too.
Okay,
like, for example,
go ahead. Well,
go ahead.
You said people cherry pick the verses. I was assuming there was a hint of you were being a little derogatory, or you weren't actually buying it. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You know, not to pick on Mr. Broussard, but he has basically like any sort of calamity that happened in the Bible, he attributes it to Planet X. You know, and there's other people. You know, they say that, like, even as far back as, like, Genesis 1, where God's creating the earth, that when you look at the Hebrew and Sumerian mythology, oh, hey, that's Planet X, you know. But I think you really have to twist the scripture quite a lot to, you know, get to that conclusion. I mean, I don't speak Hebrew, but I don't read it or speak it. But, you know, just looking at it and looking at Dr. Heiser's work, I don't see how they can make a real case for it.
In fact, you put your money where your mouth is on. You just said people cannot make a real case for Planet X. You've got $500 offered, right?
Yeah, Chris White and I kind of posed the idea. Chris White approved $500. If anybody can prove the existence of Planet X using, you know, astronomical observations, you know, all the details are outlined on the blog, but they can win $500.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. People can either Google this or it's ancientaliensdebunked.com. And that is a whole 3-hour high-quality video that Chris White put together. Dr. Heiser kind of guest stars in it. You run the page, the blog, and the Facebook page. And right off the bat, the article, the Frank Johnson Planet X Challenge.
Yes.
Despite having thoroughly debunked every Planet X theory imaginable with much help from linked sources, people still think Planet X Nibiru is on its way or even out there. So take it from there. $500, what do I have to do real quick again to earn $500?
Sure. I think the first... prove it exists, but, you know, we're looking for things that would be, like, you know, actual observations in the sky, you know, because if it's a planet, it should look something similar to the other planets that are in our system, so that would be the first thing, so you'd have to kind of observe it and be able to give a definite position of it in the sky, basically like you would if you were discovering a comet or something. Other people need to be able to confirm it.
Okay, so there's astronomical proofs of when anybody, before anybody names an asteroid or a planet or a nebula or whatever, there's just rules that this has to be proven, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be verifiable. It can't be, hey, I saw Planet X in the south of the sky. Here's a blurry picture of a lens flare. It has to be something that's obviously repeating, you know, visible in the sky, and anybody can see it. Anyone can confirm it. Another way you could prove it with observation, if the planet's not visible, and this is probably like my favorite one, because this is like, if it's a real planet or object, you can't get around it. which would be to observe the orbits of the other planets, like Mars and Jupiter are pretty decently easy to see. Prove that it's affecting the orbits of those planets. You could do that by, you know, I guess demonstrating that the orbits of those planets, the planets aren't where, you know, they should be, basically. You know, I've been watching Mars and I think maybe Saturn kind of all summer in the south of the sky all summer long. And you know what? They're basically right where, you know, the astronomy pages say they should be. So, if X is on the way, it's not affecting the other planets, which means it's, you know, not subject to gravity, which means it's a magic planet, I guess. So, but yes, sorry for my sarcasm.
No, there's going to be wobble. There's going to be a wobble in other objects.
Exactly.
There's going to be a blockage of a star that you're used to seeing from the visible. I kind of get it from the astronomical point of view then, but
yeah.
But wait a minute, though. Isn't someone going to say, oh, well, none of the real sources will verify this because it'll cause mass panic. That's why it's a conspiracy to keep it hush-hush quiet. What do you say to that?
Well, I'm going to fold up my table and go home then. No. what I say to that is, you know, there are hundreds and thousands of amateur astronomers around the world. I think Sky and Telescope magazine post pictures from people, readers all the time who are amateur astronomers. So you can find, if you don't trust NASA, and I don't totally blame you if you don't on certain things, but, you know, if you don't, go ahead and find some amateur astronomers online who post their observations and, you know, and find several different sources. See if they conflict with each other. See if they confirm each other. You know, look for some contradictions, you know. Another thing you could do is buy a telescope yourself and do your own observations, and blog about it. You know, that's one way. If you don't trust NASA, you only trust yourself, you can do the observations yourself, post them online. Other people can verify or refute it. You know, that's probably one of the easiest ways people could do it. Just go buy a telescope for a couple $100 and then, just keep watching. Otherwise, they can donate to the blog, and I'll buy a telescope, and I'll do observations. I don't get Rockefeller dollars, so I'm not bought out. You know, then I'll do my own observations and post those online.
Well, obviously, you've got kind of the same uphill battle I do. My view of Roswell and my work here. It doesn't sell T-shirts. It doesn't attract Hollywood. So, yeah, it's a little hard to raise money, but at least you're saying you've got $500 between you and Chris or whatever tucked away to anyone that can actually prove Planet X even exists.
Yeah, and that does...
Not to crash into the Earth. Or,
mm-hmm.
Not even...
And it does not... Just sorry to talk over you. That does not include some sort of, you know, Kuiper belt or Oort cloud object that's like a, you know, Earth-like planet on a stable orbit way out there. We're talking like, you know, whatever any of these, you know, Nibiru situation type planets are on its way into Earth kind of thing.
Yeah, because there's just really, sorry to talk over you.
Sorry. Go ahead.
It's just, I know you were, this is your lunch hour. You were a little sensitive on time. It's just, there's such a, do you consider, first off, if I were to ask you, hi, Frank, what is your website? What pops out of your mouth?
Well, I'd say, you know, the main site people can go to would be just ancientaliensdebunked.com.
That's what I thought, and I know that's originally Chris's work, and it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily have to represent it, especially if you're in a phone call. But I've seen that you yourself, along with Planet X, you've got an article on the Black Knight satellite debunking or whatever, which I'm sorry, that's actually Derek Gilbert's site you're linking to. But you have a book review, Chariots of the Gods. Everybody listeners here would be very familiar with Eric von Daniken's work on Chariots of the Gods. So you count yourself as a debunker of that as well?
Oh, yeah, I definitely try to be. Yeah, I've done a lot of other different blogs. I did do an article on Black Knight Debunked. I did go on Derek's show to talk about that article, so it's kind of two separate things there. I've done a book review on Chariots of the Gods where I went through not like every single little claim, but a lot of the big claims in his book and offered an explanation or debunking of those. I did the same for one of David Childress's books about the Olmecs. Actually, I did a two-part on him. One was a book review, and one was just like debunking his claims about it. So, so there's some stuff there.
Off the top of your head, what is debunkable about Eric von Daniken's Chariots of the Gods?
Everything.
Okay, we may do this later. Like we'll let a couple, 3-4 weeks pass, and maybe I can bring you on just to talk about Chariots of the Gods.
Sure. I mean, just off the top of my head, a couple things. One would be like the Baghdad Battery. You know, there's good research. That's a just like a holder for scrolls. You know, ancient scrolls. Actually, I talked to my dad about that a couple of weeks ago. He thought it was a battery, but. I'm like, no, it's just hold scrolls. There you go. There was another thing in von Daniken's book, which was a, what do you call it? Some sort of a lens that was supposed to be high-tech. And it, I mean, it doesn't look like anything like a precision laser lens by any stretch. I don't know if I've linked pictures to it or not, but it just, any you can Google just don't look very sophisticated. Some of his claims about the Gilgamesh thing, just looking at the English Gilgamesh text I could find online, I mean, it's like he almost made up like a completely wholly different story, unless I was looking in the wrong spot, which is possible. Those are just a couple right off the top of my head. But yeah, if you want to do it again in a couple of weeks or something, I'll be all for it.
Yeah, we could prepare, and you know, thank you for coming on short notice. I just realized that there's more of your work on ancientaliensdebunked.com than I actually realized at first. I just planned on asking you like some, so it was worth segging off of that, you know, momentarily or for a few minutes because we're talking to you, we're not talking to Chris White in this case, but the actual. The work, the 3-hour movie that's up on YouTube, ancientaliensdebunked.com, you've got all kinds, or there are all kinds of subsections of the video, like UFOs in ancient art, Ezekiel's wheel, the Nazca lines, Pascal's rocket. Obviously, everybody, I think, knows that these are a lot of the biggest features in the History Channel program, Ancient Aliens, that kind of support extraterrestrial involvement in human affairs over the millennia and stuff like that. But you've helped and you've participated in this work that actually just kind of calls it all out as crappy, shoddy, sensationalist research, if I may use my own words off the top of my head. Is that a fair assessment? Is that a fair assessment of what the site and the video are? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's pretty fair. Definitely.
Well, are you, if I were to ask, like, give us an example. Well, what's debunkable about UFOs in ancient art? Like, I remember Matt Hurley's page got all kinds of attention 10, 15 years ago about, look at all these medieval artwork with the UFO pictures in the background. See, it's a UFO. The Christian people were all about UFOs in the Bible. Now, when I go on ancientaliensdebunked.com and I see, I can either watch the whole three-hour video or I can just click through to the section, UFOs in Ancient Art, assuming YouTube and History Channel haven't taken it down like they have a lot of your site here. But
yeah,
but
one of them was.
Why is that not a good claim? What's wrong with saying these UFOs are in ancient art, for example?
Sure. I think one of the things I remember off the top of my head here was one of the things they say is like clearly in, you know, a UFO disc or something, and one of the pieces of art is actually when you look really close at like a good high quality image of that picture, it's actually like a circle of angels, like kind of in a circle form and kind of with light shining down, you know, kind of representing the host of angels around God or whatever. A lot of them are like that. A lot of them, too, take on, you know, symbolic religious imagery of that era. So, you know, basically, people now would be putting a kind of a, looking at ancient art through space-tinted glasses, basically. They're assigning space symbolism to something that previously had been obvious, you know, religious symbolism, which that's kind of a whole other debate on its own, I guess, but that's what they're doing. Yeah.
If I remember off the top of my head from watching this a few years back as well, that part of what, just the topic, UFOs in ancient art, one, you've already said, a lot of the hubbub is just a matter of looking at a higher definition version of the painting than popularized on the internet. But I do remember what you said about religious and iconic symbolism. That, if I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, that was a huge point, that you can cross-reference 100 other paintings from the era that use a certain symbol to represent the sun, God, angel, this, that, the other thing. That it's absolutely 100% verifiable that that is how this symbol is consistently used throughout hundreds of pieces of artwork. And then you have this one where the symbol is juxtaposed a certain way, and all of a sudden we come along, like you said, space-tinted glasses, and say, aha, see, in that one painting I see a UFO, therefore ancient astronaut theory.
Exactly.
And so, I got you. Thank you. I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but I wanted to say, am I understanding what you're saying correctly? It really is just you're ignoring the other 100 pieces of artwork from that era that use that symbol to mean something entirely that is defined, but just because it kind of looks like a UFO as well from our 21st century vision. Yeah, okay.
That's perfect summary, pretty much, yeah.
Wow. What about anything off the top of your head about that article, about that whole ancient aliens? I'm just asking because you seem to, you represent it more than Chris now. Like, Ezekiel's wheel is on there. The crystal skulls, the Nazca lines. In the couple minutes you have left, is there anything you know off the top of your head you could say, well, here's why that's not E.T. in human history?
Oh, wow, so many. I'll just throw a couple at you. One I was thinking of is, you know, one that was on an early segment of Ancient Aliens was the mana machine. That was like, that was kind of ridiculous. I mean, there's a whole bunch of logistical problems and then, you know, textual problems. They're not even like using the actual Torah, you know, Old Testament for that. They're using like the, what is that Kabbalah one, whatever that is. it eludes me at the moment. But they're basing it all off of that, you know, which that's a whole other topic. So that's one. You know, I would think these probably one of my biggest pet peeve ones would be like the supposed alien / Nephilim skulls. that one is like it's kind of like a recurring thorn in my side. Mainly because, you know, people keep doing like DNA tests on those and saying, oh, these aren't human and whatever. But, you know, it's like they're not like being transparent with the research. They're not saying how they got the sample, what actual sample was provided, who's doing the testing. There's a whole bunch of scholarly snafus going on with those. And people are saying, oh, it's aliens. And but no, you haven't really given us any proof that, you know, you're keeping things kosher, as it were. So that's kind of one of my biggest pet peeves. Especially like, because I've been listening to one show from Audible about the Olmecs and the Mayans, you know. And they had a corn god who had a kind of a cone-shaped head, you know, or supposedly like a corn-shaped head, I guess. And I'm thinking, you know, the cradle binding and making a cone-shaped head really makes a lot more sense, because they're trying to emulate, you know, their corn god by making their heads all weird shaped, you know. And that to me makes a, you know, really, really a much better case than alien heads, you know. So, but I've done huge blogs on those.
Yeah, what is behind those weird shaped skulls?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a question.
Oh, okay.
To exist.
How did they come into existence?
Yeah.
You know, mainly it's, I think there's good evidence in ancient artwork, almost like manuals, that they were doing cradle binding. You can see, I think, old pieces of artwork that say that. And, you know,
cradle
some of the...
baby in a cradle?
Yeah, like they started when they're babies, because, like, you know, the head is still soft and the plates haven't grown together and stuff. And, you know, once you start the binding process to make them, I guess, basically a cone head, you know, the plates start fusing together in weird ways, and, you know, some of the sutures disappear because bone grows over it, and then you end up with a weird cone-shaped skull, which is totally within human parameters if you account for, you know, the head binding. So.
Ooh, that's, but you're saying that was a common practice in the ancient world. There is real live human skulls that come out looking real weird, but they're not any more alien than they are, or Nephilim than they are dinosaurs, but they're, or missing links or anything like that. Interesting.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think if you really get into the research of the cultures and stuff, which I have yet to do more of myself, but, you know, you really see a lot of evidence that they were doing it themselves to kind of, and I would just, you know, pose that they were doing it to emulate the gods they believed in. So.
Well, where did the corn god come from in the first place? Wasn't the corn god really an alien that visited them?
Oh, boy. I would say no. I think just off the shooting from the hip here, I would say that, you know, they grew corn and they needed corn as like a staple crop to survive. So they worshipped it, thinking there was a god behind it that they needed to keep happy. Kind of like with all the other gods they had, about sun gods and... rain gods and this and that god for, you know, whatever ailment they could come up with.
I saw a great meme the other day. It said, yeah, everybody complains about the weather, but nobody wants to sacrifice a virgin to change it.
Oh, my. You'll have to share that one with me. That's pretty funny.
He showed it to me at work. I'm sure you can Google it and find it. So,
okay.
There's much more on the site. Maybe we should have just done a whole program on ancient aliens debunked then. Pascal's rocket, the Nazca line, the crystal skulls, Ezekiel's wheel, ancient nuclear warfare, Bimanos, Anunnaki, Nephilim, which I do believe existed, but they weren't from E.T., Easter Island, the Incan site, Baalbek, the pyramids. Do you have time to talk about how the pyramids were really formed, or you just can tell people to go watch the video?
Yeah, I got to actually head out here. But it is in the video. I think maybe one of the blogs I did touched on it. Dr. Heiser has a really great article, I think, that shows how they moved Baalbek, and I would say they And also there's somewhere, either I linked or he linked about the pyramids. Like, yeah, I would just direct people to the website for now, and if you want to revisit that, if we talk again, I'd be happy to do that.
Oh, right on. Yeah, thank you for your time.
Hello.
It called you? Oh, it must have did that by accident. Crazy phone.
God, he's back.
The phone must have called you. Now I was getting ready to call Jeffrey and him. I guess they called you by accident. Or maybe it's because it was the last number that was still in the system. I guess. I don't know. I really don't. It's kind of weird, actually.
Yeah, I'm here listening to Chris Matthews going off on this thing. God, he's just going crazy on this birther thing.
Oh, I know. And the birther thing was a stunt. Trump guy played everybody. You know what he did, right? He was introducing his new Washington Trump Towers. That's what this was about.
I know it.
Yeah, CNN's calling it a rickroll. He set him up hard, man. He played the media like a violin. They got to be furious. But anyway, let me get these guys online on the air right quick.
Okay. See you, Joe.
All right. Humpty Trumpty playing everybody. Crazy man.
For sure, next time. We'll go over each of the seven reasons and then the two that I'm going to make up before them. So.
Okay, that was your first one. Feel free to make up as well as
good luck.
Yeah.
I wish them luck with it.
Do that, please.
Thank you again. Enjoy your day, brother. And we'll listen again sometime, either on the radio or in person, but yeah, and we'll see how that unfolds.
Sounds great, guy. Thanks for having me.
And thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you're curious about that last comment, I've linked from the Area 51 Facebook page to the article, Farting, Seven Surprising and Spectacular Health Benefits. Like I needed a scientific reason to give me permission, but it'll probably surprise you to know that one of the
hello?
Listed
hey, what's up?
Is that the odor
hey, I picked up the first time and I said hello and then it goes
so
click.
Show that
oh, God only knows, man. Oh, what's it giving me cows?
And then Pal Talk just ticked me off and closed.
You know what? What the fuck? Just kicking Carol out on me for some
reason. Gonna be one of them damn Mercury retrograde full moon motherfuckers tonight.
Well, you know what? Let me drop you. I'm gonna close Skype and call you right back. That's just being queer.
All right.
All right. So, possibility of rather than bringing him on for just another
podcast, we might get him to Roswell for next summer's UFO festival to do a full blown ancient aliens debunked lecture. I've been laying out some soft pre-announcements for you here about next summer, especially when Joe Jordan was on. I'm happy to let UPRN listeners know first. I do now have a deposit paid on a really nice venue, and I'm making plans for a 3 or 4 day 2017 Ancients of Days conference to be held here in Roswell, New Mexico this summer. Mike Heiser, Joe Jordan, Gary Bates, myself, maybe Frank Johnson will be here too. You heard it here first. You'll hear more later, but we are on for another conference here in sunny Roswell. Keep listening for more details.
Listening to tonight's broadcast of Area 51 FM, reporting from Roswell on the UPRN Talk Radio Network. I'm Guy Malone, bringing you all the news that's fit to retract. Stay up to date on future news by joining that emailing list, linked from area51.fm.
They got you?
And click on yep, follow
you got
the
me.
Area 51
all right, let's see if we get Carol this time.
While you're there too.
It's just giving me the failed on.
Michael Davis on your Skype.
Yeah, hold on, let me see what the hell's going on here. Let's see. Michael Davis on Skype. So let's just type in Michael.
I don't know what the hell's going on. I have no idea.
Oh, come on. Things just falling off and shit. Man, I got shit sticking, grabbing, cracking. Well, he's still on. So I can put music on in a sec.
Why does it always show Tartu's damn cam when I come in the room? I don't want to see it.
It for some reason, it turns them on automatic. There's some way in there to change that. I just don't remember what.
Who wants to see him in his damn underwear?
Just, probably the easiest thing to do is red dot his ass.
He's sitting there. He's a weirdo looking.
Right,
it's like a gnome or Papa Smurf or something. Seems nice, but he's a weird dude. But I guess I am too. But at least I'm prettier.
It happens. We're all a bunch of freaks anyway.
Freak. I just saw Rob Zombie's new horror movie. It's called 31. It was freaking badass. It was crazy as hell. About these clowns that fucking kill you in a game show.
Oh, Lord.
Beautiful.
You said that over to me for some reason. As well as many
DVDs. You gotta be careful with these Lovecraft people. There's some hipsters.
Some weirdos out there that are down about that. I moved my keyboard to make it more convenient for me, and I keep forgetting that I moved my keyboard. It's not showing him online.
Does it say not at all?
I'm going to resend him a contact request. Yeah, he's not lit up.
All his number, I guess.
Yeah.
He better be here, shitworm.
Tell William to reboot her. Her Skype, because for some reason I'm not getting her.
All right, hold on.
Okay, that should be him joining right there. All right, guy, are you done yapping?
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Mike Dave.
Is not available.
Mike, it's Jeffrey Pritchett from the Church of Mavis radio show giving you a call for a radio interview. It's 8 p.m. Eastern. They're not seeing you on Skype, so giving you a ring, trying to get a hold of you. Thanks.
My fault. I wanted to hang up on your boy's voicemail. I hung up on you by accident.
Alright, hold on.
Yeah, I was just checking Skype. Everything's working. I just called a couple of numbers to make sure it's working.
You don't see Michael there?
I'll check again in just a second. I was actually going back.
Telling her to reboot.
Okay,
this dude better be answering the phone or something.
Search Skype.
I ain't really prepared.
Yeah, see, it's got Mike Davis in his name. It's just, he's not online. I'll try to call him, see what happens. Oh, it won't even let me put him in the conversation.
Well, I told him by his phone.
And we'll call him. We'll try his phone number again in just a second.
Oh, my gosh.
Anything to be a pain in the ass, man.
I feel the pain in the ass vibe in the air tonight.
It's been like that.
Who was that giant alert, massive, I just put up this article, massive U.S. pipeline blows open, spilling 250K gallons of gas.
I haven't heard it yet. I'll have to keep an eye out for it. Oh, I've been fucking
emergency in Alabama and Georgia from it.
Oh, you know, I must have been something else I went to. Okay, why can't I get back to my friend tonight?
It's weird. Like, the media is not even really talking about it hardly.
These days, they just cover up.
Do that on my machine.